Shinvataha.
Shinvataha.
Of those who hear.
Of those who hear.
Shrataya.
Shrataya.
In earnestness.
In earnestness.
Nityam.
Nityam.
Regularly, always.
Regularly, always.
Grinnataha.
Grinnataha.
Taking the matter.
Taking the matter.
Cha.
Also.
Swacheshtita.
Swacheshtita.
Seriously by one's own endeavor.
Seriously by one's own endeavor.
Kalena.
Kalena.
Duration.
Duration.
Na.
Na.
Not. Atidirgena.
Atidirgena.
Very prolonged time.
Very prolonged time.
Bhagavan.
Bhagavan.
The personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna.
The personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna.
Vishnute. Becomes manifest.
Becomes manifest.
Riddhi.
Riddhi.
Within one's heart.
Within one's heart.
So translation. Persons who hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and are always taking the matter very seriously will have the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, manifested in their hearts within a short time. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Cheap devotees, or materialistic devotees of the Lord, are very much desirous to see the Lord personally without meeting the requisite qualifications. Such third-grade devotees should know well that material attachment and seeing the Lord face-to-face cannot go together. Shoot. It is not such a mechanical process that the professional Bhagavatam reciters can do the job on behalf of the third-grade materialistic pseudo-devotees. The professional men are useless in this connection. Shoot. Because they are neither self-realized nor interested in the liberation of the audience. They are simply interested in maintaining the material establishment of family attachment and earning some material benefits out of the profession. Maharaj Parikshit had no more than 7 days to live, but for others, Maharaj Parikshit personally recommends that one hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly, nityam, always by one's own effort and with serious devotion also. That will help one to see the Lord Sri Krishna manifested in one's heart within no time. The pseudo-devotee, however, is very anxious to see the Lord according to his whims, not making any serious effort to hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and without detachment from material benefits. That is not the way recommended by an authority like Maharaj Parikshit, who heard and benefited by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So, Shinvata Sudhyod Nichum Grinatas Chas Vachestitam Kalina Nati Dirgena Bhagavan Vishate Hriti. So, oops. Omagana Timidandasha Gananjana Shulakaya Chakshurun Minitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So you hear Prabhupada speaking many times about professional reciters of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So let's talk about what professional reciter means. So in English, there's a difference between an amateur and a professional. And what is the difference? Does anyone know? What's the difference between an amateur and a professional?
Amateur is very neophyte.
Yeah.
Professionally, he's very experienced.
That's one difference. But sometimes you have an amateur who's really good at something.
Amateur will read the book and explain the book. Professional will do...
Well, let's talk about the business field.
Yeah.
Let's say I'm an amateur guitar player, and Keshav is a professional guitar player. I mean, just take theoretically, hypothetically. What would be... And I'm really good, and I'm actually better than Keshav. So what?
Amateur is somebody who's new to that job.
Is what?
New to that job.
Not necessarily. You know, some amateur photographers are better than professional photographers.
Professional makes his living
through earning money.
Yeah, that's the point. That's the real difference between amateur and professional. Like an amateur sports player may be really good, like Kesu. He's amateur. He doesn't get paid for it. But one who gets paid for it, that's a, you know, just like you go to the university, and, you know, in America, the football players, the American football, they go to the university, they're really good, but they're still amateurs. They're not allowed to make money from it. They're not allowed to endorse nonsense products like beer. And but once they get recruited, you understand, recruited by the professional teams, then they become professionals. So the difference, Prabhupada is referring to here, and not only that they're just materialistic pseudo-devotees or whatever, but if someone gets paid for his devotional service, it's not devotional service, it doesn't have the potency anymore. Actually, Prabhupada said that in regard to even devotees working in the temple. He said if someone gets a salary, then the result of their activities is simply the money they get. And of course, that does not mean that a temple cannot maintain a devotee and give them some basic stipend. Everybody knows what a stipend is? A stipend means just, you know, whatever you need. You know, you need something for your kids, you need something, but that's okay. But if the person working in the temple has, what do they call it, a punch clock. You know what a punch clock is?
Yeah.
He has a piece of paper he just puts in there, oh, checking in, 8 hours a day, get paid, how much an hour?
What's they call it Bandi clock.
The party clock.
Bandi clock. Bandi clock.
Monday?
Bandi clock. B-A-N-D-I.
Oh, Bandi clock.
Yeah. So each time when you're going for break, you have to put in your
you
car.
You put it in.
And then at the end of the... Then it
crosses. End of the week, yeah, it marks, yeah, you know, when you've been working and then you get so much per hour. You know, it's minimum wage. Mm-hmm. What's the minimum wage here?
17,
17, 75,
something like
all
that.
All right, so if a devotee is, like, say, the pujari, he's getting $17 an hour for doing his pujari work. Prabhupada said that it's that the result of his activities are money. And sometimes, it's interesting, sometimes devotees think that when they buy something, let's say they go buy a car, they're engaging the car dealer in service. Because they're buying, but this car dealer is getting paid for his work, right? I mean, unless he gives you a special discount, but they always say we're giving you a special discount. Every car dealer says that. But unless they really give you, you know, like half price because you're a devotee, but they always say that anyway. But then there's some devotional service there. Devotional service means, or at least the Gyata Sukriti. Maybe he doesn't know what he's doing. But really, you have to do something voluntarily, like that. So if someone's giving Bhagavatam class, or, you know, doing these Bhagavat Saptas, that's specifically what Prabhupada is talking about, not so much the Bhagavatam class in the morning. He's talking about the Bhagavat Saptaha. Saptaha means what?
7 days. 7.
7. So many of these people, you see this in India all the time, there's these big tents, and there's so many people there, and it's like a party. And then every night they have prasadam or something like that. Of course, we just had the Ramayan program in Fiji, you know, for 9 days, of course. 9 days, and then for 9 days they behave themselves. And then after that they meet again. Isn't it? For 9 days they're vegetarians, and it's like the Muslim Ramadan, you know, in the night they feast.
Even during the program, they'll be talking many to be thinking what they will plan. They start to draw plans after what
they draw a plan. So what is this Ramayan recital? You think Lord Ram appreciates that? That you take a few days, you don't eat meat, but you're just waiting until you can finish with the Ramayan so you can eat meat and drink your grog again? It doesn't work like that. You can't cheat God. You can't cheat God like that. Or it's like, the Christians, one day a week, you know, you're religious, the rest of the week you're a rascal. You know, you can't cheat God. So anyway, so Prabhupada is referring to the ones who, the professional reciters who imitate Parikshit Maharaj and Shukadeva Goswami by doing the saptah, you know, 7 days a Bhagavatam recital. And traditionally, they're doing the recital based upon the Rasa Leela and the intimate pastimes of Krishna. Even if they, I've been to some or seen some, even if they do some other aspects of the Bhagavatam, the people don't show up until they get to the Rasa Leela. During the day, they do, you know, the philosophical part of the Bhagavatam, and at night, everybody shows up. You know, the stage, sometimes I've seen the stage is empty, or the pandal is empty during the day, and then all of a sudden at night, just whoop, it fills up, and the ladies are up front in these Bhagavad Saptahas, and the person, there's a method of giving a Bhagavad Saptaha, is that they break out into song. They say, oh, and Krishna stole the butter and fed it to the monkeys, and then they have this whole song. Butter, butter, monkeys, monkeys, you know, whatever. In Hindi, usually, you know, it's really interesting.
Entertainment.
You know, it's entertainment, and all the ladies are in the front going, you know, it's entertainment. I mean, actually, it's better than a Bollywood movie. But you know, it's not a transmission of spiritual knowledge, because spiritual knowledge and the mantras have to descend. Like we hear Golokera Primadane Harinam Sankirtana. This Harinam Sankirtana descends. Or as Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, the chanting of Hare Krishna is not simply the movement of the lips and the tongue. It has to descend through disciplic succession. The mantra doesn't work unless it comes through disciplic succession. So, and the Bhagavatam has to come in disciplic succession. Bhagavad Gita has to come in disciplic succession. Like I was mentioning yesterday, that before I came to the Krishna consciousness movement, I had read Bhagavad Gita. There's a translation. It was Krister Isherwood or something like that, translation of the Gita. I read it. Of course, I didn't understand a word that was there. I mean, even though it was the same words, basically, which is interesting. I mean, the translation was roughly accurate. You know, you're not your body, the body... you change your body from boyhood to youth and then to old age. You know, dehinos minyata dehe, komaram jovanam jara. So it was the same thing, but I just, you know, I just couldn't make sense of it. But then, because it wasn't coming in disciplic succession. Even though the translation was accurate, it wasn't coming in disciplic succession. And then all of a sudden I get Prabhupada's book. We had a bridge version of the Gita. The full version with the Sanskrit wasn't there in the beginning. There was this, like, blue book. I don't know if you've ever seen that blue book of the Bhagavad Gita. Just a bridge, Prabhupada's Gita. And I read it, and I said, wow, finally I understand the Gita. It makes sense. I want to be a devotee. Or, you know, like I mentioned yesterday, that what really introduced me to Krishna consciousness was hearing Prabhupada chanting on the radio, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So we have many professional people now who chant Hare Krishna on the radio, not radio. People don't use radios anymore. On the internet, or they don't use CDs anymore, do they? No, not so much. They still do. In America, CDs are not there anymore. It's all MP3s. Everything's on the internet. So we have so many professional chanters, right? The most famous professional chanters aren't even devotees. One of them is actually eats meat. I'm not going to mention who it is. Haribo. Hare Krishna. No crying now. You can cry right after class. So one of them actually eats meat, and he doesn't believe in Krishna. And he's the most famous chanter in the world. You know, people sign up, like thousands of people come to his concerts. And nobody's becoming a devotee from that. So in order to have potency, you have to be doing it voluntarily, and you have to be connected in disciplic succession, and you have to be following the principles. And what is the principles? We're not talking just about the four regulative principles. We're talking about the principle of accepting a spiritual master. Like Prabhupada said, if someone is against the principle of following the spiritual master, Prabhupada said, he's not my disciple. Prabhupada was referring, I hope I don't offend anyone, but I probably was referring to facial hair. You know, facial hair, that beard, Because Prabhupada said, if one has facial hair, he's not my disciple. Because, not because there's something wrong with facial hair. You know, it's not that it's Maya. I mean, we've had acharyas with facial hair before doing chaturmasya, which Prabhupada called chaturmes, when the people grew up here. You understand? Chaturmasya, chaturmes. That means four messes. Anyways, chaturmasya means 4 months, chaturmes means four messes. Anyway, so, I mean, many of us had beards before we joined the Krishna Conscious Movement. I did. Govardhan did. He was a famous rock and roll musician. I've seen pictures, you know, looked quite handsome. He did. But Prabhupada said the reason that he's not his disciple is because he's against the principle of following the order of the spiritual master. Do you understand that? That's the principle. If one doesn't follow the order of the spiritual master, how can they call themselves a disciple? What does the word disciple mean? Anyone know?
Discipline.
Shastatu. I mean, the root in Sanskrit is shastra. You know, you have shastra and shastra. Shastra means, this is shastra. Shastra means what? Does anyone know? Yeah. The stick or the weapon. So Prabhupada said, unless you follow shastra, you're going to get shastra. You get beaten. By what? Krishna's material energy. I mean, like Durga, she has a weapon. What is her weapon? Does anyone know? No, for the conditioned souls, Trisha. The trident. That's her weapon. And she's poking you all the time. Isn't it? She's poking. Miseries. Body and mind. Miseries from other living entities. Miseries from the material nature. So in other words, in order to transmit spiritual knowledge, mantras, the chanting, whatever, it's a science. I was explaining yesterday, Krishna consciousness is a science. Because what does science mean? Science doesn't mean, you know, simply you take a microscope out and you look at some amoebas. You know what an amoeba is? No? Keshav, you don't know what an amoeba is? Paramecium?
Unicellular.
Yeah, it's a one-cellular creature.
I mean, you
haven't learned it.
It's only your existence.
Then 50% of your life is useless. Anyway, just joking. So that's not what science means. There's a scientific method. The scientific method is you do an experiment and you see if you get the result.
Yes.
And of course there has to be controls too. I'm not
controls.
Controls. So okay, so we'll do a scientific experiment. I'll chant Hare Krishna and you don't. And you see the different result you get. You're the control. Because you have to have a blind test to, you know, can't know who was actually Maya. But you know what blind, double blind experiment is? None of you study these things? Double blind means the experimenter doesn't know who is actually doing what. Anyway. That means not only is the person not aware whether they got the medicine or didn't get the medicine, but the experimenter doesn't know. Anyway. A little education for all of you. You know about that, don't you? Bhushan, you know about experiments. All right. What happened to the education system here?
It's really been simplified.
Simplified. I mean, I learned all these things in grade school. So, anyway, so we can do an scientific experiment. That's what we were talking about yesterday with our atheist friends. That they said, can you prove God? And I said, yes. I can prove the existence of God. There's a scientific way to do it. But it's utilizing the method or the medium of consciousness. Not a microscope, telescope, electronic, you know, computer, whatever. It's using consciousness. So we'll do an experiment. And I said to the atheist, I want you to chant Hare Krishna. You know, it rounds every day. And you see what happens. And of course the atheists actually say, but you may be an illusion. In other words, you may be having like a a psychotic breakdown where you're just seeing something, you know, that doesn't exist. Well, if you got enough people seeing it, you could say it's a mass illusion. But then the argument is, you could say everything's an illusion. You're an illusion, I'm an illusion. Well, I'm not. The rest of you are. You could say that. You could say that actually none of you exist. You're all just like figments of my... This is what the argument I was making yesterday. Figments of my imagination. You know, Keshe doesn't actually exist. No, you, I'm just seeing you. But if I close my eyes, you cease to exist. Anyway, you can say that. People make that argument. So they can, you know, so if you don't accept that I'm seeing God or making contact with God, that's your problem, not mine. So that's a scientific experiment. If you follow the process, it is scientific. So the process is the cyclic succession, hearing from a non-professional, someone who's not making his money by speaking Bhagavatam, and someone who's following strictly, following the order of the spiritual master, then it has potency. Otherwise, it doesn't have potency. Nobody becomes a devotee from these Bhagavad Saptas. They cry, there's some emotional outpouring, and that's about it. So this is an extremely important fact. And then another point I wanted to make, because we don't want to keep class forever, because we have a long program, many programs today, as the Prabhupada translates, he says, Srinvata Shradaya. And he translates the word, Srinvata means to hear. Shradaya, he translates in earnestness. The direct translation of Shradaya means with faith. Like you have, you know, the word Shraddha. Ado Shraddhata Sadhu Sangota Bhajanakriya. Like Shraddha. Shraddha Shabde Visha Sakhe Sudrita Nishtya. Faith means implicit trust. And Krishna in the Gita says any ceremony done without faith in the Supreme is useless both in this life and the next. So this is a very important point, that when one goes to hear Bhagavatam or chant the holy names, it has to be done with faith. Faith means basically you should know what you're doing and believe in it, not just as a ritual. Just like I was listening to the mantra chanting this morning while I was doing my deity puja, and I was wondering, are the people who are chanting aware of what they're chanting? Are they actually, maybe they are, it's not a criticism, but are they actually aware of the meaning of the mantras as they're chanting them? And I find many times people are not, they just chanted, you know, that was the Purusha Shukta. Yeah. No, he's aware, he knows Sanskrit. But I mean, sometimes the kids, they chant all these things, they're not aware. And sometimes we see the children learn verses in the Bhagavad Gita and they're not even aware of the meaning, they're just like little parrots. Like you have a parrot, you know, the parrot can chant Hare Krishna too. But it comes time to the of death, the parrot doesn't chant Hare Krishna, the parrot goes, ah! Squawk. So the point is, to actually do things from the heart. Shrad. That means from the heart too, actually. It's interesting. If you analyze the word, Shradaya means basically doing something from the heart. It's interesting, this word, Shradaya. Shrad means heart. You understand? It's interesting. In Sanskrit. If you analyze the word. So, in other words, you have to be doing something, not niyamagraha. In other words, ritualistically, you have to be doing something, aware of what you're doing from the heart, with trust, with faith, that you're doing the right thing. That's the method of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So here both things are mentioned, who should speak, and how to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. And therefore, if one does that, then Vishuddhe Vridhi, and that's Bhagavan, Vishuddhe Vridhi. And Prabhupada translates the word Vishuddhe as becomes manifest. The literal translation of the word Vishuddhe means to enter. That Bhagavan enters the heart. It's interesting. When you know little Sanskrit, it's really interesting how these verses, you know, you can do different things with the verses. So Krishna is always in the heart, But he actually, you know, Prabhupada's translation is more accurate. He manifests himself, Vishuddhe. But in other words, he enters into your consciousness. Because Vritti means heart, also can indicate, you know, one's very self or consciousness in an indirect way. So Krishna enters and he becomes manifest when you follow his process. It works. I guarantee it works. But you have to follow all the details. Just like when you design a car, for example. You have to do everything detailed. You can't just leave out the spark plugs. Of course, unless it's a diesel. Then you can leave out the spark plugs. But you can't leave out one part of a machine, right? Even a little screw left out of a machine, or you work in the networking, for example. Even one connection. You may have everything perfect, but there's one connection missing. What happens? Doesn't work. Or a chain missing one link. What's the use? So you have to do everything scientifically, follow the process, you know, have faith, hear from the right person, have the person following regulated principles, you follow the regulated principles, follow the order of the spiritual master, then it works. Otherwise, devotees say, well, it doesn't work. I've been chanting Hare Krishna how many years? Like 200 years. And I haven't seen Krishna yet. And I still have all these material desires. Well, process works. It's scientific. We can prove the existence of God. Okay, on that happy note, any questions or comments? Questions, comments, arguments?
As he said about the professionalism, nowadays it is seen that bhakti is somewhere else and that professional chanters or reciters, they do the business.
Yeah.
Similarly, not only that, even nowadays it has become a fashion that even in India, when someone dies, there is no one, the family members are there to cry for him, but they hire the, you know, what they call Rudali, to cry for the family.
Yeah, they hire a professional crier. That's in India, it's true. I've heard about that before.
So what is the use? See, that's nothing.
Yeah, they hire professional, like, women to cry.
Just like people get paid to cry.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. They get paid to cry at funerals.
1, 2, 3 would be...
They call them Rudali.
Yeah. I've heard about that before. That's interesting, isn't it? Professional criers. And also I've been in many funerals where the priest, minister, or Brahmin will actually speak as if he knew the person. But he doesn't. This is quite a common thing, isn't it? The family fills them in on the details before the funeral. And then this Brahmin says, yes, so-and-so Das, he was a great person. He loved his family. And he, you know, he's reading from his notes. But it's better to have a family member speak. Because they actually have some connection. But the, you know, these priests, Brahmins, whatever, they're just professional people. And then they have a price list for all their different ceremonies. If you want to have Antyeshti, a funeral, that will be $500. They do that. They actually have a price list. If you want to get married, it's $500. I mean, traditionally a Brahmin would accept charity. Even doctors, they were Brahmins too, so they worked on the basis of charity. It's not like now, you go to the hospital and the doctor's thinking, wow, we got to give him open heart surgery because I'm going to make, you know, $20,000 or $50,000 from it. So the doctor looks at you as like money. You know, he actually sees dollar bills walking in the hospital instead of a person. And so many unnecessary operations, isn't it?
Yeah, I was reading the stats here. Many operations have been done just for the money.
Yeah, for the money.
And they take money for insurance, private insurance.
Yeah, even some hospitals, they have quotas of how many operations they, type of operations they do every month. I mean, so traditionally in the Vedic system, the Brahmin was, the doctor was a Brahmin. You know, if you gave him a donation, it was all right. If you didn't, it was all right. He would still do his service. You know, Ayurvedic doctor. But now it's so expensive. I have disciples who go to India to Ayurvedic retreats and they have to spend so much money and they don't get cured. Because actually the potency of Ayurveda, one of the potencies, the important potency, is you have to be doing it out of compassion, not for money. As soon as you do it for money, the Ayurveda sort of loses its potency. I mean, that's what could you do? Because it's a subtle science. Ayurveda is more subtle. It's based on the doshas. It's based on balancing the doshas and everything like that. It's not a gross science. So subtle sciences, there's other restrictions. You know, gross science, you can pay someone money. It doesn't matter. We're talking about you pay a scientist to give you a designer baby. They have this new thing. This thing, CRISPR, you know, where you can, it's a machine. A lot of scientists have that, you know, genetic people have it. And they can design babies. Yeah. Wouldn't that be nice? You say, I want a baby this color hair, this color eyes, an IQ of 250.
IQ of infinity.
Yeah. And then I want a clone of Albert Einstein. They could do that because they preserved his brain. So they can actually take his gene and actually make a clone. Pretty good, isn't it? So then we'll all be put out of business because we'll just be ordinary people. We were just bred the regular way. Anyway, so...
Another point.
Yeah.
And it's like you just said in Srimad Bhagavatam that without Shraddha, without faith, not in the heart, if anyone is doing service or devotion, he gets no benefit. Nowadays it's a fashion of so-called Brahmana, not all, but I should say about 99% of these Brahmins, they call themselves Pandits. From my side, I call them Banya, because why?
They're businessmen.
Businessmen, because they go to the diary, when it's puja is, they go down there,
they sacrifice.
I don't think so. The person who is hiring them to do the puja is benefiting anything from them.
No, there's no benefit.
Except for the fact.
Yeah, the money is the benefit. Yeah. That's what Prabhupada said.
Yeah.
The money is the benefit. They make money. It's a business.
And I think Prabhupada is there, bandits.
Yeah, bandits. Yeah, the money is the actual benefit from such an activity, and it's, we're interested in bhakti. And bhakti means starts with faith. Without faith, there's no bhakti. That's the first ingredient. Adho Shraddha. So, Jitendra, you had a question?
Just on the point of, Krishna consciousness being scientific.
Yeah.
If you conduct a science experiment, if you follow the method, you get the results.
Well, yeah, a conscious science experiment, not one with scientific instruments.
Right.
Mundane or scientific instruments, yeah.
So if you do that with mundane science, if you have a simple experiment, you follow the method, you get the result. With bhakti, even if you have two people who follow the method down to the T, there's no guarantee that both of them will attain the same result in the same amount of time, like one may.
If you control the variables, see, the thing about a scientific experiment, you got to control the variables. You know what a variable is?
Yeah, yeah.
If they have the same amount of, you know, intention, devotion, yeah, Krishna is equal. Samoham sarvabhuteshu not legalishu stinapriyar. I mean, they may get a different result in terms of their rasa. You know, someone may be a coward boy, another person may be a cow. That may be a different result. But it works. Given the same amount of faith, intention, of course, I mean, the variables can't really be controlled with consciousness. Yeah, I mean, that is a fact. So they'll make progress towards the same goal, but someone will make more progress than the other.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but there will be some realization, be some progress. And, you know, you can't control that variable because it's consciousness and devotion, you know, that's a variable. It's not like you can control the temperature in a laboratory like that. But they will experience something. That's for sure. if they follow the process. If you hear from a pure devotee and you follow the process, then you experience something. But sometimes, if you don't follow the process, people think they're experiencing something, but they're actually experiencing just their own mind's mental projections. Anyway. But Krishna consciousness is scientific. If you follow, you get the result. Anybody. Dinahina yata chilo hani namo durila. Whether they're fallen, whether they're Brahmins, whether they're Kshatriyas, Shudras, or Rakshasas. I mean, look at, I always use the example of Valmiki before he was Valmiki. He just followed the mantra. He was given the mantra, Mara, by pure devotees. And he chanted it. And he had the result. He became Ram, of course. But he had the result. And that's a scientific experiment. Not only did he become a pure devotee, but he was able to internally perceive the pastimes of Ram in his heart. Right? That's pretty good. That's a proof right there.
Yeah, so that connected to what's in this verse, because it says that if one hears with faith, then Krishna will manifest in the heart within a short amount of time.
Yeah.
Within a short amount of time.
Yeah.
Be different for different people.
I mean, obviously different for different people. But Shraddha, faith, you know, Shraddha, giving the heart. It's interesting how faith is defined in Sanskrit. All right. I think we're going to have to end because we have a full day of eating, of visiting people in their homes. We'd like to thank everybody who's joining us online. We have Draupadi, Sumuka, Antoni, Shamasaki, Dira Prashanta in Bosnia, Angelina in the Balkans, we have Radhika Priya, Sudharma, Gopal in the United States, Rupanuga, Krishna Chaitanya in New Zealand, Shikha Kumar, Radha Mohan, Mayapur in Hawaii, Radhasharan in Fiji. Pretty good, isn't it? Vilesh Maharaj, Sanjani Reddy, Avikash, Chiris, Sumuka, Goranga, Madhu Deo, Vrindavan Chandra from Fiji. He's in the United States right now. Agari and Tulsi, Teresa Borham. Tulsi from here is watching. Pretty good. Big crowd. 18, 19 people watching this morning.